All right, welcome back to your seats, church. It's my privilege to continue in the series that we began a few weeks ago, and we've titled this series, It's Better This Way, and that's a take on John chapter 16 verse where Jesus is telling his disciples, it's to your advantage, it's better that I go away and send the Holy Spirit. So this is a series that we're doing on the Holy Spirit, and this is week three. Last week, Catherine spoke here, Sue spoke at Grace East, and they talked about because of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, we are never alone. And wonderful messages, they're online, go back and listen to them at any point. Today, I'm calling what we're going to look at together empowered and gifted. And I'm probably only going to just cover the empowered part. The gifted part, Mike's going to pick up and continue on in next Sunday. So we'll talk about all of the many gifts of the Holy Spirit next week. I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit empowers us. And so I want to look at our verse for this series. Actually, it's two verses in John chapter 14. John 14, Jesus, talking to his disciples, said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Now, I bolded something there right at the end of verse 17. He lives with you now, and later will be in you. Those two little prepositions are amazing at how different they make the meaning of this. So he says the Holy Spirit is with you, he's beside you, and later he's going to be in you. The Holy Spirit is going to be inside you, and that's going to be a really different reality for your lives. And we're going to look into Acts at some verses about that. So that's where we're going. He lives with you now. Later, he will be in you. And then the verse from John chapter 16. Here's the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the divine encourager, the Holy Spirit, will not be released to you. But after I depart, I will send him to you. So Jesus is trying to get his closest friends ready for his departure. And it's kind of, you know, he says, I go away. That's kind of like the mildest euphemism for I'm going to be brutally tortured and crucified. They weren't ready to hear that yet, but he's telling them, I'm going away and I'm going to send you the advocate, the comforter, the encourager, the Holy Spirit. And it will be better for you that I go and he comes to be inside of you. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. We're going to talk about being filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I just want to add the honor that Sue gave to all the moms in the room. And I want to do a very specific thank you to my mom. So Josie, Joanne, to everyone else, but me and Donnie Mix. Josie, thank you. Thank you for giving birth. And here's a bigger thank you. I think one of the things, I love preaching and talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have so much fun with you this morning, and I hope it's a blessing to you. But I just want to say thank you, Mom, and together with Dad, for demystifying the Holy Spirit for me. Thank you for modeling what it is to live powerfully a life in the Holy Spirit. And thank you for explaining stuff I didn't understand along the way. And so, so thanks, Mom. I think you gave me one of the greatest gifts by imparting the Holy Spirit-filled life as being something that's normal and natural. So more on that later. Yeah. It's fun to pick on my mom in these settings because she's so reserved. She would never draw attention to herself, and so I get to do it on her behalf, and it's all okay. Love you. So we're going to look at a text from Acts chapter 1. So I'm going to read about five verses from the Passion Translation. They're going to be on the screen for you. We're going to pick up Acts chapter 1 in verse 3. So let's read this together and then we'll pray. So Jesus in John 14 and 16, where we just read, is preparing them for him going away. Then Jesus is crucified, he's arrested, he's crucified, and on the third day he rose again, and we sang about that. And you all went a little crazy when we sang those lyrics. When we sing about his resurrection, it ought to get a little beyond just the lyrics. So way to go. After, verse 3, after the sufferings of his cross, Jesus appeared alive many times to these same apostles over a 40-day period. Jesus proved to them with many convincing signs that he had been resurrected. During these encounters, he taught them the truths of God's kingdom realm and shared meals with them. Jesus instructed them, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift I told you about, the gift the Father has promised. Wait here until you receive the gift the Father promised. For John baptized you in water," John the Baptist, "baptized you in water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit." Every time they gathered together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is the time now for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He answered, "The Father is the one who sets the fixed dates and times of their fulfillment. You are not permitted to know the timing of all that he has prepared by his own authority. But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power." When Jesus makes a promise, you would do well to read it again. Thank you. "I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power. And you will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest places of the earth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Jesus, thank you for this promise. And Jesus, thank you for keeping your promise. Thank you for pouring out, for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you for filling us with power. And thank you that you keep fulfilling your promise. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for coming, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this Acts 1 is the beginning of a whole lot of activity of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus' life is laid out for us after his death and resurrection. It says here at the beginning of Acts 1 that he appeared to them many times, convincing them that he was alive, that he was no longer dead. And each time that he would spend with them, it says they would want to know, "Are you going to restore Israel? Are you going to restore our kingdom?" Isn't it funny how relevant scripture is today with then and now? It's like so many Christians today are wondering, are you gonna restore America? Are you gonna make America great again? Hey, I went there. And the Jewish people are saying, "Are you gonna restore the kingdom of Israel? Is Israel gonna be great again?" And what he had for them was so much more and different than what they were expecting. And that is the way the Holy Spirit is today. What the Holy Spirit wants to pour out on you and me is so much different and so much better than making some nation state great. It will blow your minds. So I'm patient mostly with Christians who get distracted about policy and stuff. I don't care if America's great. I don't care if Canada's great. I don't care if Mexico is great. The kingdom of God is great in our midst. And that's what matters to my heart. We're citizens of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Our lives will shake plenty. We know this. But his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And that's what he's building. And his promised Holy Spirit is being sent to empower them to bring glory to his great name. Not some agenda that you and I have. That's not in my notes, but it's preaching really well. Come establish your kingdom. So power. He says, I will fill you with power. Power is, that's a little, honestly, that word makes us a little nervous. People who wield power are scary people, aren't they? So when it talks about power right here, we're kind of, ooh. You know, right now, the theaters are full of movies about superheroes with superpowers. Aren't they fun movies? Don't talk about the latest one. I've not seen it yet. Don't talk about it. I might even go see it today on a rainy afternoon. What else would be? I mean, yeah, amen. See? So superheroes have superpowers. Do you know that spirit-filled Christians have superpowers? They're called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are being given by the Holy Spirit and they're being embodied in spirit-filled Christians, they aren't scary things. But when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are being used by Christians to impress other people and make themselves something that God doesn't care about, then it is scary. It does get a little messed up. But he says, I'm going to fill you, and you will have power, and you're going to shine bright. You're going to share the love and the light of Christ all over your community, Jerusalem, Judea, all over to the ends of the earth. That's what the power is for. The power is for others, not for you and me. We okay with that? All right, so he says, this is going to happen. And they're saying, are you going to make Israel great again? And he's like, that's for the Father to decide. I'm talking about what my purpose in the earth is. And so they know John the Baptist, and he went to the Jordan, and he baptized them for repentance of sins. And they saw that, and they understood that. He says, I'm going to fill you and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand they had no idea what he was talking about? They did not know what that looked like. So let's jump ahead to Acts chapter 2, because they're going to get this experience that he promised. Here's an excerpt, just a few verses. Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. It says, suddenly, that's a great word. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. And everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Well, the Holy Spirit comes. The promised gift that the Father talked of and that Jesus said, I will send, it comes, and it comes with manifestations of a great wind, with flames, tongues of fire, and with people speaking other languages. That's really remarkable. That's memorable. How many of you recognize they never forgot this day? And what happens is, in the middle of this, the fruit of all of this is that people who didn't understand and who were looking from the outside were like, they're drunk. This is craziness. People who didn't have an appreciation or an understanding of what God was doing had one interpretation, but what the impact it had on these disciples, and I believe if we receive a filling of the Holy Spirit, we will have a similar kind of experience. These men, these followers, men and women of the followers of Jesus who were scared out of their minds at the death and crucifixion of Jesus become these bold, courageous, empowered people. They were totally different after this experience. It wasn't just a crazy time. It was transformation of their lives. Peter, James, John, the three closest, were invited by Jesus to pray in the passion leading up to his arrest and his crucifixion, and they fall asleep. They can't even pray with him. Now, these guys are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And all through the rest of Acts, you see them praying all over the place. Praying with power. Praying empowered by the Holy Spirit. The same people who ran in fear for their lives before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion are now, in the remainder of Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and boldly declares the message of the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. He becomes this amazing public speaker, and he was running for cover when a little servant girl said, don't you hang out with Jesus? He's like, no, that's not me. A fearful guy, fearful fisherman, becomes this loud, courageous, bold speaker of the truth of Jesus. Okay? So here, let's go to another. Here's just another segment. Acts chapter 4. Peter and John have been walking in this new power. They've been sharing their faith with people. They meet a guy who is crippled at the gate of the temple. They say, we don't have silver and gold that you're asking for, but in the name of of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And they start performing miracles because they're full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And because this man is healed and draws so much attention, the religious leaders, the same religious leaders who arrested Jesus and had him tortured and crucified at the hands of the Roman soldiers, these same guys are told by these Jewish leaders, Peter and John, quit what you're doing, and they lock them up. And then after they release them from prison, they say, you must stop talking about Jesus. And they say, well, you know, we got to obey him rather than you. So you can release us, but we're not going to stop talking about Jesus. So they have all this courage that they've never had before. And so they're released, and they go back to their friends who were praying for their release and for their protection. So they're in another prayer meeting in an upper room somewhere. And as they're praying, it says, here's how they prayed. Lord, hear the threats of these Jewish leaders. Give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Kind of exactly like what it said in Acts chapter 2. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Same people, all filled, again, with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. So there's just another example of how their lives have been dramatically changed. They're speaking boldly, they're being persecuted, they're being imprisoned, and they just ask for more boldness and more opportunities to speak the name of Jesus. Amazing transformation. Here's just one more excerpt. So the context of this story is Philip is in Samaria. Samaria's the rough place where the, you know, you had Jews and you had Gentiles, and then you had half-breeds who were a mixture, and the Samaritans were the mixture, and they were not culturally acceptable people to hang out with. But Philip is sent there by the Holy Spirit. He shares the good news of the gospel in Acts chapter 8, and people respond to it. And so it says the apostles in Jerusalem hear about the people of Samaria accepting God's message, and so they send Peter and John there. And as soon as they arrived, they prayed for the new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had been baptized in John's baptism, baptism of water for salvation. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. They received the same gift that the apostles had. So they had a relationship, they had salvation in Christ, and now they have this experience of the Holy Spirit that the apostles had in Acts chapter 2 and then again in Acts chapter 4. And so what we find is as the apostles are going out and the disciples are going out and ministering, they're giving away the things that have happened in their life. That's what we do. We share the good things that God's doing in our life with other people. And that's what I want to do with you. So my experience, my encounter with the Holy Spirit. So here's a little bit of Merle's story time. And I love sharing this story. And as the Lord nudges me, I highlight different parts of it. And so it's always exciting to me to see how much of this or how little of this I'm going to share. So son of fifth child of Joanne and Charles. And And they raised us in a Mennonite church. That was what family life was early on. And then mom and dad had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And so they wanted to share that with everyone that they loved. And so we ended up not in a Mennonite church anymore. We ended up in a church of God. If you've not worshiped the Lord in a church of God, you might want to sometime. It's okay. It was radically different than Mennonite church. We sang a couple hymns in Mennonite church a cappella beautifully, and then whatever our worship band does here on Sunday mornings is a warm-up band to what the Church of God did, with a little drum kit and a guitar and a worship leader who just went after it. And they had something that I didn't understand. They had runners in this church. The Holy Spirit would come on them in such a strong way, they would do laps around the church. Zoom! And I was a young guy who knew Jesus, and it was kind of circusy. It was distracting. And so we worshiped there for a season, and then we worshiped in home church. We had home church, and we listened to Charles Simpson, Bob Mumford, Derek Prince, Don Basham on New Wine cassette tapes. So that was home church for a season. And then Dick Blackwell comes to Harrisonburg and plants Church in the Valley, and that's where we begin to worship. And I'm a teenager now, and we're worshiping in a charismatic, non-denominational church that is just like this. Not just like this. We were a little different in 76 than we are right now. And so that's a little of my journey. So we're in a charismatic, non-denominational, spirit-filled church, and I'm a teenager, and I'm a believer, and I have been baptized in water, and I have faith in Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit, I just don't get. And my impression of the Holy Spirit is Church of God lap running and other things. And so it's a little confusing, and it's a little off-putting, so I got the Holy Spirit at an arm's length. And in this setting, there's regular invitations. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit because you want a life that is as different as these disciples' lives were. And they're talking about it in more normal terms, and my mom and dad's life are normal, and they have Holy Spirit stories. I just don't have any Holy Spirit stories in my life. And then my freshman year in college, I'm at JMU, and everything that is important to me in my life is starting to crumble a bit. I talk about this in one. I had the lyrics for a country song in my life. My girlfriend, that was crumbling. The things that were important to me, getting good grades in school was important to me. I was flunking out of an honors history class. Yeah, go to honors history and get a D-. One more bad grade like that, and I'm not eligible for the soccer team. And so I'm on the soccer team. And all of that is crisis, and people are ridiculing me for my faith and asking me where the horse and buggy is when I came to practice that day. And I just am not used to all of this turmoil. So, you know, my soccer thing that's so important to me is crumbling. My academics are crumbling. My girlfriend is in relation turmoil. And about the only thing that was going okay is I didn't have a hound dog or a pickup truck, so... So the country song wasn't totally there. But I make fun of it, but as a young man, those things were so important to me, and I wanted them to go a particular way, and they weren't going that way, and I was like, where are you, God? I'm following you. I'm doing the best I can. And I didn't have the filling of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so Dick has a meeting, and they had periodic Friday night meetings for college students at this time. And so it's a Friday night meeting at the end of the semester, And he gives a message. It was anointed rambling. I don't remember what he preached, but it was anointed. And then he had three prayer lines. Prayer line number one is if you want salvation and you want to follow Jesus. Prayer line number two is if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and receive the power to be his witness and to be a light. And then line number three was if you want, as a college student, to make Church in the Valley your home church away from home, then come here and we will pray that you really get the pastoral care that you need while you're away from home in this church. So three prayer lines. I go to the Holy Spirit prayer line. all through my high school experience in the youth group at the church, I did not want the Holy Spirit because I was in control of my life. Things were going really well in high school. Things were going really bad in college, and I want to change. I want something. I'm hungry and thirsty for something to change my life in a way it's never changed. So I'm in the Holy Spirit line. I come up, and this brother starts praying. He says, "You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit?" I said, "Yes, I want the Holy Spirit to fill my life. I want him to take control." So I pray, and right the minute we start to pray, I feel this peace. Just, whew. My girlfriend and I aren't any better. My future in soccer is no better. My grade is as much in the air as it ever was, but whew, I have so much peace. I don't care about those things. Me and Jesus, me and the Holy Spirit are on, and we're going to do this together now. The most incredible peace filled my heart instantly. Here's the second evidence that I knew that what I asked for was true. I went home that night, and the Bible that I had that I wanted so badly to read and understand, but I always did it because good Christians should read Bible. I picked up my Bible, and I could not get enough of it. And for my Christmas gift, I asked for another Bible, and I still have that NIV Bible that Mom got me for Christmas in 81. And before the semester ended, the second semester, I had read my whole Bible for the first time in my life. And nobody asked me to. Nobody made me. I could not get enough of God's Word. I just read and read, and it made sense. I knew something was different in my life. The Holy Spirit had filled me, and he began to reveal to me the truth of who God was and who Jesus was. That's what it says. The Holy Spirit will come, and he will reveal the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Thy word is truth, and he will make it real to you. So I had the immediate peace. I had the subsequent evidence of God's word became alive to me. But right there while I'm praying, the guy praying for me, he wanted to be sure that I was full of the Holy Spirit before I left the line. Because it's no good to come for prayer and not get what you're being prayed for. So this brother wanted to have the expression that is so classic in Pentecostal circles. He wanted me to speak in tongues. Well, I didn't come up to speak in tongues. But he knew that if I spoke in tongues, I had the Holy Spirit. I knew I had the Holy Spirit. Isn't it funny how the body of Christ can fumble on itself, and the very thing that God wants to bless you with, you get tripped up with because of the humanness of other people? Like, the humanness of your pastor right now is helping some of you embrace the Holy Spirit, and some of you are like, man, your story's messed up. So he wants me to speak in tongues, or he's not praying for them. I'm not leaving that line till I'm praying in tongues. So, confession. Like, I've said this in small group before, and I've said this in other one. I've not said this publicly, I don't think. So it's going on tape. I faked it. Do you think God is okay with us faking speaking in tongues in the middle of him filling us with his Holy Spirit? So I came up with a few syllables. He was thrilled, and he let me leave. So, the gift of tongues is a beautiful gift. It's a really confusing gift for so many, and it becomes the measuring stick of whether you have the Holy Spirit or not in so many circles. And there are so many gifts, and God gives them all, and he decides what he gives, and we are the recipients of his gift. The Holy Spirit gives and just keeps on giving. And if there is a gift that he wants you to have for your personal edification, like tongues, or to build up the body of Christ, he'll give it, and you'll receive it, and your life will be better for it. So it wasn't until many, many months later, I can't even remember how much later, I was in a worship service, and we were worshiping the Lord like we were this morning, and I ran out of English to tell the Lord how much I loved him, and I came up with some real Holy Spirit words and syllables this time, and that's been a part of my life and prayer language ever since. This morning, we got to a point in that one song about living hope where I ran out of English to tell God how amazing he was. This is a really tongue liberal area in the church. I don't know if you knew that, but you can go crazy in tongues up here and it doesn't distract or bother anybody. I've been doing it pretty much every Sunday. It doesn't even bother the worship team. They think you're singing English, I believe. Tongues will edify your spirit. Okay? So I had that much later. So there's a whole bunch of gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to jump to the very end. See, there's, and that's not even an exhaustive list, but there's about 20-some gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so I had immediate peace. I had a hunger and appetite for God's word, but I didn't get tongues until months and months later. But you know what the first gift of the Holy Spirit that the Lord gave me was so incredible that it kind of freaked me out, and I had to talk to mom and dad about it. So I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, we'll get this done. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. First semester ends, Christmas break, I get a new Bible. I'm reading through my Bible. And sometime there in January, I go to bed, and I get awakened in the middle of the night, and I'm terrified. Sleeping really well, wake up for no reason, terrified. I mean terror. I am rigid, and I know that if I was able to open my eyes and see in pitch darkness, there is something demonic at my door. That's what I know. I don't know how I know it, and I can't see anything, but I know there's trouble at my door. And that's kind of freaky for an 18-year-old. I've never had that experience in my life. So I'm hyperventilating, I can't move, and I'm just in my mind going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I can't speak. I can't speak. I'm terrified. So I fall back asleep. I don't know how many times that happened, but it continued. And so one morning, I'm like, Mom and Dad, I'm having nightmares, or I guess they're nightmares, but I get woken, I'm terrified, there's something really dark presence in my room. How's that allowed in your house? You guys are spirit-filled Christians. And I don't know if you remember this, Mom, or not, but Dad said, we're sleeping fine upstairs. And he said, it's not bothering us. And I said, well, what do I do? He said, you're sensitive to spiritual things. Now take authority and tell it to leave. Yes. I said, that's it? I just say leave? He's like, yeah, in Jesus' name, leave. I'm like, okay. The next time it happens, I'm laying there in bed, and I'm terrified. It's over there, and I'm thinking, when I say in Jesus' name, leave, it'll leave, but I can't open my mouth. I'm so terrified. Dad didn't cover this with me. And so I'm just saying, Jesus, Jesus, till my heart calms down, until my body relaxes, and then I can speak. And I just say, in Jesus' name, leave. Never had that experience again in that house, in that bedroom. I was like, I have power. And I had a discernment of spirits that I'd never had. I want you to know that there is more things going on in the spirit that we don't see than there are in the physical that we do see. That's what's true. It's real. And it would freak a lot of us out if we comprehended and perceived all that was going on in the spirit. I was starting to get a little bit of that. So, fast forward, I move into an apartment after I graduate, and I'm in the house for a week or so, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm terrified, and there's something at my door. I'm like, what the heck? It follows you around this stuff? But I didn't have to call Mom and Dad up, because they had imparted. They just take authority. I got my voice. In Jesus' name, leave. Never had another problem. So I'm a bright guy. The next time I moved somewhere, I prayed before I went to sleep. Right? Never had a problem again in my life. Now, here's the beautiful thing. Do you know what? When I walk into rooms to this day in different places, I have I perceive things of spiritual nature, and you carry the power of the Holy Spirit, and you just say, Christ is here, the Holy Spirit is here, you got to leave in Jesus' name. Now, I say that in my spirit, and I don't even have to say it out loud and freak everyone else out in the room. Do you get that? Now, if Christianity was all about me, I'd say it out loud and make a big impression, and people would be like, whoa. You know, the spiritual people would be impressed with me, and the non-spiritual people's like, he's an idiot. He's drunk. And neither one is about me. It's about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We carry the presence of the Holy Spirit, and what he says rules in the earth. Not what you say, what he says through you. So I just want you to know, I have the ministry of dispersing demons. Just self-proclaimed. Isn't that a great thing? The ministry of dispersing demons. Now, see, that shouldn't even go on the tape. Sorry. But I have a gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord showed me what it is for and how it serves normal life. I don't have to be troubled by spiritual darkness in my sleep anymore. The enemy tried to distract me and get me off course. That's just one example, church, of the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in those who believe. So, it says they had a relationship with Jesus. They had responded to the baptism of John. Then Peter and John come, explain the Holy Spirit, and they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. There's just Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 8. I wish we had time for Acts 10. It's an amazing story of a bunch of Gentiles being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they haven't even heard of who the Holy Spirit is, but Peter sees them being filled with the Holy Spirit, explains it to them. Here's what I want you to hear. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. He's alive. He's a person. He's God. He's as much God as the Father is. He's as much God as the Son is. And it says here in these passages that the Holy Spirit has come to be our advocate, to be our encourager, to be our comforter, to empower us, to be witnesses. You don't want to live life without the Holy Spirit filling you. The Holy Spirit was with them. The Holy Spirit was beside them. He said in a few days, the Holy Spirit will be inside you. So I just want you to know, I was a believer for years. I knew I was going to heaven, but I lacked something in my life that I was desperate to have. I wanted more of God. I wanted a deeper relationship. I wanted the power to be a witness. I wanted the power to overcome sin in my life. I wanted the power of God to transform me into the image of Christ. So some of us are like, Merle, what? I have a relationship with Jesus forever. I know the Holy Spirit's with me. I would just say, if your heart is stirring right now, there's more of God that you can experience. And he wants you to have all of himself, not a tiny ration. And if you've been walking with the Lord forever and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, what we see in these passages through Acts, they were continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know how that works for your theology, but the Holy Spirit is generous with himself. He keeps filling you. He keeps pouring himself out in your life. So in a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Could the worship team come up? There's all kinds of reasons why the Holy Spirit is someone or something that we keep at arm's length. For me, there was a little bit of confusion and distortion in my early experience. The Church of God didn't keep me from wanting the Holy Spirit. It just delayed my progress a little bit because it was confusing. I want you to know that the gift of the Holy Spirit is that, a gift. The Holy Spirit wants to fill every one of us to overflowing. But gifts aren't imposed on people. And the promised gift of the Holy Spirit that the Father promised and that Jesus sent is available to not just be alongside of you, but to infill you and overflow your life in such a profound way that you're different forever. These disciples were totally transformed and changed after their encounter with the Holy Spirit. I believe you can have an encounter with the Holy Spirit that you remember for the rest of your life, and then you can have another encounter. I've had so many fillings and so many encounters with the Holy Spirit over my life. It's like my first one was this huge lordship crossroads threshold. I had done life my way as a believer for so many years, and then I said, I've reached the end of myself. I want to live as a believer on your terms, Lord, whatever that looks like, wherever that takes me. I can flunk out of school and it won't bother me. I can excel in school and that's okay. My identity isn't what I do. My identity is who I belong to. And this life belongs to the Holy Spirit, which is why I'm pastoring. I would have never landed here apart from the Holy Spirit. So for me, it was a lordship and control issue that I had to negotiate with God. And when I yielded, he filled me, and he's continuing to fill me. And honestly, I still have lordship issues with God. Maybe you're further along than me, but there are times when I wake up and I just want my way today. I saw one smile. One of you agrees with that feeling. But when I come to my senses, when I spend some time with him, I'm like, okay, forget I said that. Forget I felt that way, Lord. I want what you want more than I want what I want. And there's a whole connection with the Lord that's intimate and close all over again. So you can be filled. You can be filled again and again and again. But if you are wondering right now, I don't know, have I ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? I can't really say. I'm not sure. You can be sure. Your life will be changed so dramatically, you'll know and you'll be sure. Got 10 pages of notes. I bet they're awesome. You can take a picture of this. You can jot things down. I think one of the most profound things, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 where a bunch of the gifts of the Spirit are listed. One of the most profound things that it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that it's the Holy Spirit who even enables us to believe and have faith to begin with. The reason that you know who Jesus is the Holy Spirit has already been at work in your life, giving you a seed of faith to believe that he is who he says he is. I think some of us, our lives are stuck. We've grown a bit with the Lord and we've plateaued and we are the same person we were a couple years ago and we're not sure why. I'll tell you what you need. You need the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out on you all over, and it will start transformation and change in your life that will be an adventure. And that can be scary or that can be exciting and life-giving. And I pray it's exciting, life-giving. So I want you to sit, and I want to put you at ease. I am not going to make you pray in tongues to be convinced that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what, we come to faith in Jesus Christ by faith. We come to receive the Holy Spirit in faith. And it says, if you being sinful people know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will the Heavenly Father who is good and faithful give good gifts to those who ask? And the Holy Spirit is the ultimate good gift. So all I want you to do is sit in your seat, open your hands up in your lap, and if you want to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit, you can just pray with me. And I want you to know you're not too old to receive the Holy Spirit. You're not too young to receive the Holy Spirit. He fills those he loves, and he loves all of you. So we're going to sing a little bit, but right now I just want you, if this is what you want, if this is what is going on in your heart and life right now, you can just sit, close your eyes, put your hands in your lap, open, and we're going to pray this prayer. You can just repeat after me, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for living perfectly, dying as a sacrifice for my sin, and raising to new life. Thank you, Jesus, for sending the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I surrender all control of my life. I offer my life to you as a living sacrifice. In faith, I believe you have filled me with your Spirit. I want to overflow with your life, your love, and your power. Pour out your Spirit in my life. In Jesus' name. So if you've asked that in faith, you're full of the Holy Spirit right now. And this might be the first time for you. And if it is, I believe Mother's Day 2019 will never be forgotten in your life. And if this was the 100th time, I say, you go. Keep asking for more of God. You won't get too much. I want us to stand, if you're willing, stand. I want to repeat that lyric in that Sinking Deep song we did. That was really good. We camped on it earlier. Let's go camping there again for a little bit. All right?